listen to Today with Sean O'Rourke with the RTE Radio Player.
In 2012, the Irish sports journalist David Walsh wrote his fourth book on the disgraced cyclist Lance Armstrong, who was stripped of 7 Tour de France titles following confirmation that he had run what drug testers called the most sophisticated, professionalised and successful doping programme that sport has ever seen. The book, 7 Deadly Sins, My Pursuit of Lance Armstrong, is about to hit the big screen. It's been taken on by Stephen Frears, director of, among other things, Philomena, The Queen, The Snapper and The Van, those latter two, of course, Roddy Doyle stories. And both David and Stephen join me now on the line. First of all, Stephen, what attracted you about this story, and what were the particular difficulties that presented themselves about making it?
The difficulties were monumental. You try making a film about the toughest cycling race in the world.
Well, I suppose if you shoot it fairly tight with lots of bicycle wheels spinning around, you might have some chance.
No, but you sort it out. But it was quite a challenge.
And what exactly was that challenge? Was it? I mean, surely you go to the Alps and film extracts or film a lot of it there.
Well, first of all, yes, it's not as easy as you think, and also the tour is a huge event, so you're trying to convey the scale of it. So you need a lot of money to try to film it in that way.
And would you be able, for instance, to get generous shots of the tour as it's happening in real life and then pop them into your movie? Would that be an option?
Well, since the story of the film is the race is from 1999 to 2005, shots done in 2014 aren't much use.
So how did you go meeting those challenges?
Well, you use a lot of archive, in truth, and you sort of you pick your way through it, which I think we've done. But it's tricky.
And what about using shots of Armstrong himself from the races that he quote unquote won?
Well, I've got an actor, so you can't use his face, can you?
I imagine not. But if you're using archive, he might get into it somehow.
Well, there are probably shots of his back.
I see. And so I gather you had trouble finding a name for it. Has that problem been solved?
You know, believe it or not, it hasn't. But it soon will be.
And
have you got any suggestions?
Well, the obvious one is 7 Deadly Sins, but maybe that one's been out before.
Yes, I think it has. Yes. And also that shifts it in some way. It's really just the story of the doping years of Lance. It's really a sort of crime story as well as a cycling story.
And how or why did you settle, for instance, on Chris O'Dowd to play David Walsh?
Because Chris is wonderful.
I know, but he's about a foot too tall.
Well, you tell David Walsh.
David Walsh, good morning. how did you respond to being played by Chris O'Dowd?
He should be so lucky.
Yes, that is exactly how I felt. I mean, I'm one of those small guys in life who always wanted to be a little bit bigger. I mean, so for me to end up 6'4" in this movie is just an absolute thrill. I mean, come on, who wouldn't take that?
Well, I suppose the other option might have been, I don't know if this is true or not, Dustin Hoffman. He's got a small part in it, does he not?
Dustin has a small part.
Yeah, and there's a small matter of about 30 years, I'd say. Well, 20 years between us. And I would much rather a younger man play me, Sean. And if you ever find yourself in my situation, I guarantee you'll go for the same options.
Yes, and of course, Lance Armstrong is played by Ben Foster. He's, I suppose, closer to something of a lookalike. Wouldn't that be fair to say?
He's surprisingly similar, yeah, and he's a very, very good actor.
And Stephen, do you have any sympathy for Armstrong, given that there were a lot of people on drugs back then, and he's the only one to have got a lifetime ban?
Well, underneath it all, he's a human being. So, in a sense, you're trying to understand why he did what he did. And I can see that we all sort of colluded. I mean, not David, clearly, but an awful lot of people colluded in his success. So it's quite a complicated situation. But he took to crime very easily.
You've described him as the most complicated man in the world. Why?
Is because on the one hand he did all that he did for cancer and, you know, all those, that side of things, and survived cancer, and on the other hand he was doping and lying for 10 years. I mean, that's quite extreme.
David, does he have any redeeming features?
But there's no question he does, Sean. I think one of the things that the film is going to do is to portray Lance in a more nuanced way than maybe has been the case in lots of other situations up to now, and I think that's really good. I mean, when I was going through what I would call the Lance Armstrong years of my journalistic life, I did follow Lance in a way that I was intrigued by him, absorbed by him, obsessed by him to a degree. So when Lance would send out, when he would send messages, on Twitter to young kids who had cancer, I would read those messages and apply a kind of, a sincerity kind of judgment to him. How sincere was he being? And my view at the time was that he was being very sincere. And then I would try and rationalize it in my way and think that this is Lance trying to do a lot of good to make up for a lot of the bad that he was doing, almost putting something on the other side of the scales. So I think, of course there are redeeming features to him. I think he did tremendous work in terms of reaching out to people who had cancer and offering them support. Of course he used cancer as a shield, as a protection, as a way of making more money. All of that's true too. But there was a lot of good in terms of helping people.
Yeah, I think we've lost David. We were talking about fairy tales and myth earlier in the programme. I'm just wondering, was it your sense, Stephen, that Armstrong effectively believed in his own publicity, believed in his own myth?
I have no idea. I mean, I can see the myth was created of this boy who was the son of a single mother and was this wonderful cyclist. And I guess it must be very, very seductive. After a time, I imagine it became very, very calculating.
And
I say he took to crime very easily.
Yeah.
He said himself his life had been a cross between Chariots of Fire and Goodfellas.
I suppose it's
personally, I think it was more like Scarface.
Now, just to come back, Stephen, to the other film that you've been very much associated with, particularly in recent times, that's Philomena. And again, we're getting echoes of all of that right up to the present day. And it's been renewed with all of the revelations about what's been happening in mother and baby homes. Have you been following that?
Well, listen, I'm English. I'm not Irish. I'm not Catholic. So, I know very little about it. But it sounds the most appalling story.
And of course, you saw a lot of Philomena Lee in the making of that movie.
She's a great, great woman.
And Judi Dench as well.
Yes, I had two of them. What a handful.
You're a bit of a handful yourself. Listen, we leave it there. Stephen Frears, and our thanks to you and to David Walsh. It's 11 o'clock. Right. We go to the newsroom now, and Susan Jackson.